You're listening to sermons from Bethany Baptist Church of Chicago. For more information, visit us at bethanychicago.org.
Well, this morning, I want you to open your Bibles in John chapter 16, verses 1 to 6. This is a very well-known verse in the Bible, the verse 6 that says, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And I want you to see today the context of this verse in the Bible. So we're going to read verses 1 through 5. But before that, let's pray and ask for the Lord to direct us this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you because you are our Father, because you saved us from sin and from death. Thank you because in your sight we're righteous and we're just. We're justified in your presence because of what Jesus Christ did. And we want to ask you this morning to help us to understand this passage this morning, knowing that we have to live according to this eternal truth. Help us, Lord, to live every day knowing that we are saved in you. Not being worried about the future because we are saved. And Jesus Christ is coming again. In that beautiful name we pray. Amen. So don't be troubled. What I mean with this is do not be worried about it. You're going to have trouble, but you don't have to be worried for the trouble that is coming. That's a different way to translate the verse 1. John 14 verse 1 says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. So after that, Jesus is explaining why we don't have to be troubled. Why our hearts do not have to be troubled. So today, after you leave, you have to have in your heart and also in your mind, don't worry. Do not be troubled in your heart. If you are going through a moment in your life that you are being worried for something that is out of your control, I want you to understand you don't have to be in that way. And we also have problems. And depending on the character we have developed, we will face the problems in different ways. Some people act facing the trouble with irresponsibility. That is not right. We shouldn't be irresponsible with the things we have to do. Because we must face the challenges of life and overcome them. Other people, when they have problems, when they face problems, seem that they are going to die. It's like, because their character or personality sometimes, but their character is weak. And in any circumstance, they just look that they're going to die. They're so worried. They're just thinking too much and talking too much about that specifically problem. Other people have developed the character of Christ. And when they have problems, the problem comes, they use the problem as an opportunity to grow. But how does the character of Christ is going to be in our character? How we're going to copy the character of Christ? What can we do to not be worried without being irresponsible with our duties? How do we not worry? Well, the answer for that question is in the verse number 1. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. That's the answer for the question. How am I going to I'm not going to be troubled or worry in things of life. Believe in God and believe in Jesus Christ. It's just that. Nothing else. You are going to be having hope in your life if you put your eyes, your faith in God and in Jesus Christ. So the summary of the whole sermon today is believe in God, believe in Jesus. That way, if you put your faith in Him, you are not going to be worried about life. Now, if believing in God is like we do not have to be worried, I mean, when you are trusting in God and trusting in Jesus, that means that you are not being worried for life. Also, the opposite things means the contrary. Let me explain that. So, if believing in God and believing in Jesus Christ means that you are not gonna be worried, if you are being worried means that you are not trusting in God or trusting in Jesus. Because if you will be trusting in Jesus, in God, you will not be worried. Does that make sense? So, if you are worried, that means you are not trusting in God, not trusting in Jesus. And this is a commandment. Jesus Christ is saying as a commandment. He said, let not your hearts be troubled. That's the first one. No, don't do it. How are you going to do that? Trust in God. Trust in me. Trust in Jesus. Two things to do. Trust in God. Trust in Jesus. Now, that has some implications. Because Jesus is a teacher of the law in that time. He is saying, trust in me. He's actually saying, I am the Messiah. In other words, he's saying, I am God. You don't say, a normal person, don't say, trust in me, because we are sinners. But he is perfect. He can say, trust in me. So he's saying, trust in God, trust in me. And later on in the verses, he's saying also, if you trust in me, that means that you trust in God. If you know me, you also know God, because finally the conclusion is, I am God. Jesus is saying, I am God. Okay, so talking about the affliction in life, before we go to talk about the points today, being afflicted is not the same as being worried. Again, being afflicted is not the same as being worried. Just as frustration in life sometimes can happen, we can be afflicted and be firm in our faith. But we cannot be worried and say that we believe in God. To explain this, let's see to Jesus Christ. He never was worried. Jesus had many problems, okay? And his soul was afflicted to death. Do you remember when he was in the Gethsemane Mount? And he was praying and sweating blood because he was afflicted. Now, he trusts in God. That means he wasn't worried about it. But he was suffering. So, if you are suffering, that doesn't mean that you are worried about the things that are coming. Jesus cried, but he never was worried about the things he was crying for, because he was trusting in God. So if you are suffering, that doesn't necessarily mean that you are not trusting in God. So what Jesus did was just pray. He prayed and he was never worried about affliction, but he suffered for sure. So if he is the Son of God and being a man, he suffered for sure, we're gonna suffer in the same way. But we shouldn't be worried about the things we are suffering for. Let's read the verses 1 through 6. John 14, verses 1 through 6. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There is the answer of the Lord and his teaching. So, today, verse number 1 is the point of the whole passage. Trust in God, trust in Jesus. So, in order to not be worried in life and have peace in our heart, what we have to do is believe in God. Now, when you see people saying that they believe in God or they believe in Jesus, you see many doctrines, religions, philosophies, thoughts, convictions. People think different things about God. So they're going to say, I fulfill verse number 1 because I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. I know he's real. I know God exists. I know he created the world. But does the people really know God? I talked to a woman the last week, and she was saying different things about the Bible, saying that she believes in the Bible, and she believes all the things the Bible says. But I asked a question to her. If you die today, what is going to happen to your soul? We know we're dust, so body is going to be dust again. But what is going to happen to your soul? And she said, well, I'm not sure, but I think the problem is going to sleep. And like this person, there is more people thinking different things. In conscience of soul, just sleeping, eternity in heaven for everybody. What is the truth? Well, the truth is in the Bible. And the authority comes not from my thoughts or from what I believe or from nature, but authority comes from the scripture. And what the Bible says is the truth. There are many books in the world, but just the Bible is telling me the truth. So when I say I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, what God is that? What Jesus is that? So you need to know Jesus and you need to know the real God and the real Jesus. And that is going to come from the scripture. In order to not be worried and to have peace in my heart, I have to believe what says in the verses 2 to 6. Now we're going to explain what is to believe in him, to believe in Jesus, what is to believe in his promises. Let's see the verse number 2. So after he's saying, believe in God, believe also in me, what I'm going to believe? Number 1, there is room for us. There is a special place for you and me. Verse number 2. In my Father's house are many rooms. That's the first thing Jesus Christ is saying. There is a special place for you that in entrance, in the door, has your new name. Well, I'm not sure if that's true. But it's a metaphor to say there is a place that Jesus Christ, God, has especially for you and another one different, special for me and for all those who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior. Now, one of the words that is interesting is many. What that means? When we are in this world, people are looking for a house, and in the city, many houses, and you're looking for a good one, and you say, sometimes there is no room in this neighborhood. I have to move to another one. And, well, one of the commandments of God was just fulfill, you know, what I created, the earth. It's fine. You can multiply and grow. But, no doubt, God has a special place for us. And there is many room for everybody. We cannot say to people, oh, you know what, we're too many Christians at this point, so I don't think you should believe because there is no more room in the heaven for you. But what he's saying is that there's many room for everybody. Number two, apart from a special place for you, is we have, in order to believe in him, is believe that his word is truthful. His word is truth. We have no doubt of any word that is in the Bible. Everything is true. There are so many people saying that some of the books are inspired, another are not. What that means to be inspired, probably they just have an idea of God. But when we say the word is true, it's not that just a man took a pen and started writing. But that means that God inspired the man his word using his context, using his life in that specific moment, and also his language to give his word exactly in the way he wants to do it. That is the difference between the Bible and other books. Other books are written by men and they have mistakes. But the Bible has no mistake and it's truth. All the things he is saying are true. There are many examples of the Bible saying the truth, but one of them, and my favorites, probably one of the first ones, is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. So the first book that we have in the Bible is giving us a promise. And then he fulfilled that promise. So God put the man and woman in the Garden of Eden. And they sinned. They broke their communion, their fellowship with God. And in verse 15, God says, chapter 3 and verse 15, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and her offspring. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That is known as the first gospel. And that is a promise from God that Jesus Christ, the offspring of the woman, will crush the head of the snake, Satan. So what happened there is God is given a promise of a savior for them who fall from the presence of God. And thousands of years later, God is sending his son. Now, many times we have problem with believing because we say, oh, but there's already 2,000 years since Jesus Christ died and nothing happened. He didn't come yet. He forgot about us. But you can see Genesis, between Genesis and Jesus Christ coming again, thousands of years between those two things, between the promise and the fulfillment of the promise. So the time of God is not the same time that we think. His thoughts are higher than us. Probably not today. Probably today. But the Lord is going to come. Jesus Christ is coming because he said he's coming again. Let's go again to John chapter 14 and verse 3. What we say, there is a special place for us. Number two, that His word is truth. And verse number 3 says, well, after number 2, if it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? So what he's saying here is that His word, what He's saying, is absolutely true. Now, we can say about this, well, He was talking to disciples at that point, not talking about us here at Chicago, gathering together. Why we are in the world gathering together if Jesus was talking to His disciples? Not to Josue, not to Bethany. So why we say that this word is also for us, not just for the disciples? Well, a little bit forward, chapter 17, Jesus Christ was praying for His disciples. And He was saying, Lord, take care of them because they are in the world. Sanctify them in your truth because your word is truth. In verse 17 and chapter 17. And then in verse 20, Jesus Christ, our Savior, is praying for you and for me. So if He was praying for us, we can say the words in chapter 14 are also for us, and it's a promise for us too. Verse 20 and 21 says, I do not ask, Jesus Christ is praying, I do not ask for these only, not just for me, my disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. So Jesus Christ is praying for you in that verse. He's saying, I pray, God, for those who are going to believe through the word of my disciples. So we go back to verse 14 and we say, in my Father's house are many rooms. And those rooms are not just for the disciples of Jesus at that point, but also for us. He was praying for you at that point. Verse number 3. And this is our third point too. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. The argument is that Jesus is preparing a place. God's plan for man will be fulfilled in His time. Their plans cannot be altered because Jesus is God, and neither the devil, nor the death, nor sin, nor any man can change God's plans. So Jesus Christ is going and He's preparing a place for you and me. And He's saying, if I'm doing this, this is for sure going to happen. That's His argument, because I am God. Nothing is going to stop me from coming again and taking you. So the third point is that He will come again for us. He will come again for us. What He promised, what Jesus Christ promised, will be fulfilled. And the place that our Savior is preparing for us is already ours and our property. And the record that we have, you know, when you have a house, you have a record that says your name and the coordinates of the place, right? And it's an official document that says this place is from this person. But the property record is the book that you have in your hands this morning. The promises that God has given to you and His word is the assurance that you have that place is yours. Matthew 24, is giving us assurance about that. After Jesus Christ is saying, I'm going to come again. Matthew 24 is talking about the second coming and the things that are going to happen before he comes. The events in the future. And after Jesus Christ is saying all the things that are going to happen, there are going to be earthquakes and wars and hungry around every place in the world. He's saying in verse 35 and 36, Matthew 24, verses 35 and 36. Truly, I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So, more than anything in the world, and the world in it, is the word of God. It's more firm than anything that you know or I know. We all are going to die one day. We're not that firm. We're today, and tomorrow we're not. But his word is every day until the eternity. So the same word you have today is going to be in that day in his presence too. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Let's go back to chapter 14. John 14 is giving us more hope. The point number four about his promises is that we're not going to be worried because we know that we will always be with him. Verse number four says, and you know, I will come again, verse number three, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And that verse is saying that we are going to be in the same place he is. Can you imagine that? The creator of earth and heaven and everything in it is saying, not just his disciples, but you and me, we are going to be with him for the eternity. It's not that giving us hope? That should be giving us just such a joy, knowing that this is just temporary, and we are going to be with him for the eternity. Just waiting for that day. I was having a dream like two nights ago. So I put my air condition on. It was very cold. It was hot during the day. So during the night, it was very cold. And I felt very cold, but I was sleeping. So in my dream, I was cold. It was a weird dream, but I was in a plane, over a plane. And I was holding from the plane and flying in the air very fast. And I barely can just hold myself in the plane. But it was so cold. And then I thought, I'm going to die here in my dream. I'm definitely going to die here. This is my last day in this plane. I don't wonder what I'm doing outside in this plane, but I'm going to die. You know, I had a thought in my dream. I thought, I'm going to be with the Lord. In my dream, I was thinking that. I'm going to be with the Lord if I die here. For sure, I'm going to die because I'm just so weak and I can't hold this plane is going so fast. And if I jump, I'm going to die for sure. So, but I had such a joy in my dream. I said, I'm going to be with God. How's going to be that? I cannot imagine how that is going to be. But you know, we should live every day knowing that. Not looking for death. But knowing that we live for Christ. But if we die, we're going to be with him. And he's saying, in the same place that I'm going to be the king of the universe, you also are going to be. Such of hope. If you believe that, are you going to be worried for life? I'm not saying you are not going to suffer. For sure, you are going to suffer. But you are not going to be worried. Just trusting in Him. Trusting that you are going to see Him face to face. But if other people say, no, you know, we just fall asleep. We're not worthy to be in the presence of God. That's true. We're not worthy to be in His presence. But through Jesus Christ, that's what we're going to see now. We're worthy. As a conclusion, the world, your flesh, and Satan is going to tell you that's not true. What the Bible says is not true. Jesus Christ is not coming. Those are just lies. Let's read verse 4 and 5. And you know the way to where I'm going. Verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? So there is this apostle doubting from Jesus. Thomas was his disciple. And he fought many times with doubt. And he was the apostle of Jesus Christ. So if you have doubt sometimes, do not feel bad. One of the apostles of Jesus Christ had doubts too. But that wasn't the last time that Thomas had doubts in his heart. Just look to chapter 20, John 20, verses 24 and 25. Here's Thomas again. After the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and after His resurrection. Let's see John 20, verses 24 and 25. Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So Jesus Christ appeared to the disciples, but Thomas, he wasn't there. Verse 25. So the other disciples told him, we have seen the Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in His hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into His side, I will never believe. I will never believe. There was Thomas again, not believing. One of the 12, not believing that Jesus resurrected after the disciples said, we saw Him. What was the problem with Thomas? He had doubts inside of himself. Who taught him about doubts? Who taught him that the word of Jesus wasn't true? Nobody. But his doubts come from himself, from inside of him. Because his nature is a sinful nature, as we have a sinful nature. So do not blame sometimes Satan or the world, but inside of you, it's enough evil to make you sin and doubt from the Word of God. So how are you going to fight against the doubts that are coming from your heart? Just fill your heart with the Word of God. And in that way, you're going to overcome to the doubt. Now, let's see the answer of Jesus Christ. Verse 6. He was doubting. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, Thomas, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So the question of Thomas was, how can we know the way? But Jesus' answer was farther than that. He said, I'm not just the way. Do you want to know the way? I am the way. But I am also the truth and the life. He is giving more information than what Thomas was actually asking for. In other words, Jesus told Thomas, no, not to doubt. The answer is in Jesus Christ. And today for us is the same thing. If you feel lost, come to Jesus Christ, because He is the way to the Father. If you feel confused, come to the Messiah, Jesus, because He is the truth that brings us to the Father. And if you feel weak, if you are afraid of death, come to the Savior, Jesus, because He is the life. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for Jesus Christ and His sacrifice, voluntary sacrifice on the cross for us. For us who believe in Him as our Savior. And thank you because we have that assurance and we know 100% that Jesus Christ is coming again. And when God is coming, and when philosophies are coming, and when false doctrines are coming, help us, Lord, to have assurance and have the foundation of the truth of your word to stay firm and to keep walking without being worried for the things of the world. Because we believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we believe that we are going to resurrect with Him in the same way. Thank you, Lord, for this word. And it helps us to live in a way that is giving worship to your name. And in a way that even if we suffer, we are not worried about the things of this life. Because you are under control. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's podcast from Bethany. Join us for Sunday worship at 3532 South Point Avenue in Chicago. For more information, visit BethanyChicago.org.